Talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else? You can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, fantasize with you. No fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Radio Susie One on the World Wide Web. And now, here she is, Dr. Susan Block.
Brothers and sisters, lovers and sinners, artists and exhibitionists, voyeurs and connoisseurs, all you children of sex, and we are all children of sex. We may or may not be children of God, Jesus, Allah, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. But we are all children of sex, with a capital X. And sex is what we talk about here on Radio Susie One, broadcasting live from the Garden of Eden. The speakeasy in the soul of downtown L.A. And we're playing with apples tonight here on Radio Susie One, because it's the Jew year, the new year. Happy New Year to the Jews. L'shana tova. And I, yes, am, you know, Jewish by birth. So here I am, celebrating with apples and dates and honey. And I've got my honey here tonight on Radio Susie One, Brother Max. Welcome back.
Hello, honey.
Hi, honey.
Hi, honey.
And you've been through quite a journey.
Yes. A trip to here and there. A meeting with modern technology.
And it's a new year, and you've got new arteries.
That's correct. Right.
That's very sexy. Brand new arteries. You know? I always say novelty is a great aphrodisiac. And if you can't have a new lover, well, maybe you can get your lover new arteries. All right, I'm going to open up your microphones, ladies. Here we go. Happy New Year, Aunt Deborah.
Shana Tova.
Shana Tova. Sameach. I think I've decided that the Jewish New Year is a sexy holiday. I was on the fence about it. The apples. Apples. The tree of knowledge. They have sex. You know, come on. Sex. Knowledge. Apples. Okay, my other guest tonight is Hana. Or Hannah.
Either one works.
Schneider. And I've really kind of just met you tonight, although you came here to the speakeasy last week. And we've drafted you into the the Shana Tova episode. I don't know what I'm getting myself into either. It's a kind of a last minute put together show tonight, but we're going to start with wine. You know, that's pretty sexy too. The wine drinking,
it's
right?
It's a very Jewish thing.
It's a Jewish thing, but it's a sexy thing. Alcohol is an aphrodisiac, right? So should we do the prayer? Yeah, you're the rabbi, Rebbetzin, whatever.
There we go. Yeah.
Okay. I'll follow along.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam Borei pri hagafen.
Amen. Women. That's how we do it. That's how we roll at the speakeasy holidays.
I don't think you're getting a contract.
No, for being a cantor. Well, delicious red wine. And we have apples. Is there a prayer for apples? Deborah?
Oh, yeah.
Aunt Deborah?
It is the fruit of the earth, so it's Borei Pri Ha'adamah.
Okay, let's have some apples and honey here. I am serving. You all get little paper plates, just like in Hebrew school.
We're going to be super neat. Oh, look at this.
Who wants the end?
I'll take it.
Okay.
Oh, thank you.
I'll take it. She sounds like she's like sacrificing a little bit, which is very Judaic.
It's crunchy.
I'll wait in the car.
Yes. And, you know, I mean, growing up with Judaism and having come so far all the way to ethical hedonism in L.A. to get away from it, I tend not to think of it as very sexy. But on the other hand, you know, here I am cutting apples and honey, and apples, that's what Adam and Eve ate in the Garden of Eden. And right after they ate the apples, they had sex.
You know, I think we tend to sell ourselves short as sexual beings in Judaism. You know, you and I both came from pretty intense backgrounds, but you just look at the people in your business.
There are a lot of Jews in porn. It's true.
Yeah,
not most of the porn stars, unless you count the fabulous Joanna Angel.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, Jenna Valentine was here the other night, and she was fabulous. I think her Hebrew name is Esther or something, but she's very much identified.
I like that name.
And she's not really a porn star, though. She's a God's girl. I don't know if it's the same God, but... but anyway, mostly they're not the porn stars and the strippers. They are mostly the producers of porn.
But Jews are sexy people. I think that's...
Okay. I mean, I think everybody is sexy people.
Everybody,
you know, and
sexy.
Anybody
everybody
can be sexy.
In their own way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
So, but you know, there are certain sexy times. And like Han and I were saying... I mean, the Jews kind of say it's okay to have sex and do whatever you want as long as you're with your spouse.
And more. Come on.
I've been told
what, you can do more than that?
Yeah, I think it's pretty much in the power structure.
Really? That, okay. You know, maybe I should have stayed there.
More
than
you
what? I thought you weren't supposed to do more than your spouse.
I'm just here. I'm dating a guy now who is in a different kind of circle. They're all over the place.
Yeah.
Did
we do this? Baruch atah
Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam.
Asher kitchenu b'mitzvotav. No.
Well, not exactly that one.
No. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam. Borei pri ha'adamah. Amen. Ah, women.
Crunchy, isn't it?
It is. You know, you're not supposed to eat on the radio. But.
So good.
It's part of the experience.
Sweet. And the figs.
And now we have dates. Would you like some dates?
I love dates. I've developed a taste for Middle Eastern food.
Really? You didn't have it before?
Really, I did. I always did, but I really like dates.
Thank you.
Dates. Would you like some dates, darling?
I like any kind
would
of
you like
date
a date?
I can get.
It's so Middle Eastern.
Whoa.
Do you like dates,
like
Brand? No onions.
The date business.
I was wondering what he was up to.
Yeah.
So it could be that in the Garden of Eden it wasn't an apple. It could be that it was a date or a fig.
I think it depends upon the translation of the word from the original Hebrew. I think they're all getting all fucked up about that.
Right. And do they use fuck also in there?
I'm pretty sure they did.
Yeah. That's how we translate know and knowledge. See, to know someone is to fuck someone.
That's true.
And the tree of knowledge is really the tree of fucking, and it's full of apples. Am I wrong? I mean, this is all right? This is the story that I learned in Bible school. There's a tree of knowledge. It's got apples. They eat it. They fuck. They get in trouble, of course.
They get kicked out.
In the yeshiva, they left out the fucking. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, they didn't.
Oops.
What did they get in trouble for then? Just putting the leaves on?
No, just getting the knowledge. That's the line that they fed me.
Getting the knowledge, but not actually doing it.
No.
What's the realization, too, that they're naked, and then by implication that they are sexual? Doesn't it destroy their purity?
I think I went to a liberal Hebrew school. I learned that they had sex, that they knew each other, that was what the, you know, it says they ate from the tree of knowledge, and then they knew each other.
I think that's the implication.
That's the first time I've ever heard that. I swear.
Really?
Little girl shouldn't swear. But it's true. No, I heard that it was more intellectual, that they gained consciousness.
And they gained
awareness.
The knowledge of God.
Awareness.
They became like gods.
Yes. They became one step
knowledge,
closer.
Right.
They had knowledge. And the sexual part is incidental to it. The more important, more essential concept involved the expansion of their minds.
Well, of course, you can look at sex that way, that it's only partly physical. It's also knowledge that takes you to a very spiritual
height. But in the end, it is a physical act.
I don't think so.
I believe it's spiritual, too, but it's not in the sense of the story that...
In the beginning, it's a physical act. If it's good, it is. But, you know, if it gets even better, then it gets a little spiritual. I mean, but we should start physically.
Oh, yeah.
When you start spiritual, you know, that's a little dangerous. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
So, let's see. Do we have this gentleman from... No, he's not there. He probably freaked out because he's from Turkey. Maybe he's Muslim or something. And he went, oh, my God, I thought it was calling a sex show, not a Jew show.
They're everywhere.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think
we
scared him away.
We have a lot to talk about. Come on. Come on back.
Oh.
Give us a call.
From Turkey.
Yeah. Is that what he did?
He was calling from Turkey, I guess. Either that or he was having a drumstick.
I like Turkish men.
You like Turkish men?
Doesn't everybody?
I like Afghani men. I don't know Turkish men that well.
You do or don't like Afghani men?
I do.
You do?
I do. The way they ride those horses and
like wild men.
Yeah. I mean they're pretty sexy. Not the Taliban. The regular guys.
Taliban doesn't do it for you?
Well, I mean they're, you know, cutting off girls' hands and, you know.
Fair enough.
Chopping off guys' beards before their chin ends.
But there is the whole mystery of the, you know, sheet over their faces so you can't see them.
You like that? Oh, you think girls do?
I like my guys with a little mystery, I guess, yeah.
Yeah.
Take it too far.
Well, I mean, all the Afghan guys, they have that. I don't think that's just the Taliban. The Taliban wear black a lot. The other Afghan guys wear more colorful outfits.
What do you think of Afghani men? I mean, can you imagine this? In literature, I think, what's his name, the English guy? He idealized, he was very Arabic, a big Arabist. Richard Burton, Sir Richard Burton.
Yeah.
And I think he wrote about that, too. It's more of a primitive. But then there are a lot of these guys, these Afghani guys around in American government, some of them. So they're like Jews.
Like Hamid Karzai.
Hamid Karzai. In fact,
yeah,
you know,
he's
a lot
kind of in the American government.
A lot of the Pashtuns. Did we talk about this? The Pashtuns claim to be part of the 10 Lost Tribes. That's where they came from.
No, we didn't talk about that. I didn't know that.
It's in Wikipedia.
A lot of people claim that.
It's in Wikipedia. And the former president...
Don't the Mormons claim something like that? Where are my Mormon people?
Wait a sec. No. We got here first.
No, the Mormons are one of the lost tribes, according to the Mormons, I think.
No, the Mormons are just simply lost.
We have a large Mormon contingent here that is pretty...
I've heard about them.
They're fresh out of Mormon school.
None of them will admit to it. I have interrogated each and every one of them.
Where's Sister Mel? Sister Mel? Okay.
She's hiding.
Engineering.
She's hiding because she knew you.
Do you have something to say for Mormonology?
Why me again?
Uh-oh, maybe she doesn't have a microphone. So
she's got a microphone.
Oh, there she is.
I don't know if it's working or not.
It's working.
Is it working?
Yep.
All right. That's weird. I can't hear it in my own head.
I hear it.
Okay. Well, I'll trust you, Susie.
I hear you loud and clear, and I've got your Mormon back.
What are you asking me
here? I don't know. Deborah was starting to
spout
anti-Mormon stuff.
I made one little cutesy remark, and it just turns into...
I'm going to have to go over there and beat you with my My carrot casserole.
No, I thought that the Mormons said that they were one of the lost tribes, and Deborah said that they were just lost.
No, they said that the American Indians who were here were the 10 lost tribes.
All 10?
Who's counting? I don't know.
Now, Mormons believe in, there are different tribes. They don't believe that they are all part of that tribe, but when you get, it's called your patriarchal blessing. A patriarch actually gives you a blessing from God, and he tells you what tribe you're actually from. Like in my patriarchal blessing, I am from the house of Ephraim.
Ephraim.
Mm-hmm. Ephraim.
Ephraim is the Israeli way.
That's Hebrew. Did you know that?
Ephraim is the Hebrew version of Ephraim. Ephraim is the American version.
Yeah, Ephraim, like Ephraim Zimbalist.
Right. There you go.
Which is an alternate spelling. Senior and junior, by the way.
Well, doesn't this stuff all move around? Can't the Mormons be, from the tribes?
Yeah, you can.
It's a free country. They fucking want, Nobody's going to tell them. They don't listen to anybody anyway.
Being Mormon's kind of like joining a club. Like, you're already inherently part of a family. You just got to join the right club, like the cool club, to get in with God.
Getting right with the big guy. I know. That's what everybody's doing. You just want to get tight with the big guy.
Tight with the big guy.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about yourself and the big guy or girl, as the case may be?
Oh, where I come from, none of it makes any sense to me. So...
Well, you have a lot of knowledge.
There's a spirit, but there's a limit to.
In both,
I came out with this before Bill Maher, but none of us. This is not an original idea. That we just don't know.
We just don't know.
What a waste of time to.
I came in touch with the big guy.
Well,
just a couple of weeks ago.
This is a show about sex, life, love, and death.
It was an ever-ready battery.
Mm.
Okay.
It comes in all different.
With
it comes
two
in
wires,
all different forms.
The battery is God.
And the doctor says, with this, I give you life.
Mm. Amen and amen.
Amen and amen. and the seamstress, because they sewed this on.
Oh,
they
who do we have? We have Turkish guy.
None of that laser.
Back
stuff.
On two. His name is Rasijo. We're going to talk more about bypasses in a moment, but let's get Turkish guy. I hope he doesn't mind that I called him Turkish guy. But
we'll Rasijo?
Rasijo? Hello?
I don't know anything. Rasijo?
Is he there?
You're on the air, Rasijo.
Hi.
Hello, speak up.
Hi, Rasijo. Hello?
Okay.
Hello, hello, hello? Hello, hello, hello.
No. Anyway, how about those dates?
We can't hear you.
Delicious.
You want more dates?
Wait, here we go. Oh, thank you.
I think he was smoking too much on his Turkish pipe.
It could be.
I like Turkish coffee.
Okay, then.
It's the only thing I know about Turkey.
Really?
Yeah, pretty much.
There's the Orient Express.
Mm. Oh, that was... Is it still running? Is it timed?
It is, yeah. It's running from Paris to...
Istanbul.
Istanbul or somewhere, yeah.
Mm.
So let's go back to your bypass, and I'll cut some more apples.
Sure.
So you came very close to God.
I came about as close, I guess, as you can get to him. But, the Indian doctor told me it's all kind of – it depends, He says – the Indian doctor told me that the thing is that you have to make sure that you believe in all the gods because, God forbid – you picked the wrong god, and we take you in this operating room.
That's actually what you told him.
Oh, is that what I told him?
With you.
He agreed, right.
Yeah.
Got the wrong god, and we take you in this operating room. And you're done for. That's it. Got the wrong one.
It can't be that way.
No,
it's that simple.
No, it doesn't. Yeah. It can't be.
I have a painting right in front of our room. There's a guy on the cross. It says, you picked the wrong god. You're dead, motherfucker.
It's kind of a joke, of course, because we know that there are good people of all religions and bad people of all religions, and it's all just absurd to think that there's only one that gets you through some pearly gates.
It's an interesting concept.
That there's nice only one.
It's nice to contemplate. No, just the idea of that deity. God, see how it permeates our speech. God,
when I was close to death, I saw her as Mother Earth, really. Mother Earth. So that's who you go back to when you go. You don't go up into the sky. That's like fantasy, which is great. But you go back into the earth, really.
Well, we're
maybe a little of you goes into the sky if they cremate you.
The energy that makes us go is sunlight.
The electricity.
It's
I just got a feeling
it's
when
a
I was when I almost died that that if I would die, I felt like I had this choice of merging with the earth or continuing my individuality. And I mean, maybe I was full of myself to think it was me making the choice, but I did feel this edge, and on one side was just giving in to Mother Earth and letting her take me into her arms and make me one with everything else, which is a beautiful thing, but would make me lose my life, myself.
Interesting. Yeah, I get the same feel. I think about this scientifically, the DNA that the sun created and the elements created. Just Mother Nature created this whole framework for us. And we have our 70-odd, whatever.
And that's who we'll go back to when we die. The Father God, you know, I think that's around for us while we're alive to intimidate us and punish us and spank us when we're bad. Because sometimes we like a good spanking.
We didn't get that in the matriarchal societies, did we?
Well, you sometimes get it from women,
the women were doing the spanking.
Oh, yeah, but...
And then the daddy gods came in and changed everything.
Yeah.
And then
daddy does the spanking, which is kind of fun. Yeah. I don't know. Sexy, I guess. I like spanking.
I do, too.
Right, so...
It's sort of...
So our number is 213-749-1330 if you want to talk about sex, life, love, death, God, and spanking. And if you're in North America, you can call us toll-free at 1-866-289-7068. That's 1-866-289-7068. And I'm in studio with the lovely Aunt Deborah, munching on apples and honey. And Hannah. And Max. And earlier today, we were talking about a great tragedy. This is a serious show somehow, so I'm going to talk about another serious talk. You know, I don't know if you people know about this, what happened, but...
We're actually going to try and help the New Haven Police Department right now.
With some motivation analysis. See, there was this girl, a Yale student, which is why we're following it, and she was a grad student. And I guess a medical student or else some sort of science grad student that was in the medical school laboratory. And beautiful girl, I think Vietnamese. And her name was
Annie Lee. Annie Lee.
And she went into a medical building at Yale. And I remember this building from when I was there is very far from everything else. And many reasons why I didn't go to medical school, but one of them was that I didn't want to go to that building. But it's kind of scary. But, you know, supposedly it's all very secure and guarded and only people with keys can get in. So she went into this building and she never came out. And they couldn't figure out where she was. They looked everywhere for this girl. And her wedding day was like a week from when she was discovered missing. And... just one of these girls with everything going for her. Beautiful, smart, you know, going to graduate school, ready to get married, and gone. And then they found her.
Stuffed in a wall
in the building.
In the medical building?
In the medical building. Mm-hmm. her body.
Everyone was evacuated from the building. There was like a weird fire drill. Did you hear about that?
No.
After she went in, like 2 hours later, there was no footage of her coming out, but then there was a fire drill and the whole building was emptied. So even though there were security cameras, they couldn't tell if maybe she had left the building or not. They couldn't find her in the crowd.
Right, right.
But it was sort of ambiguous. And then I think the last time I heard about it, they didn't know who had, like, why. I don't think they knew why the fire alarm had gone off.
No, but I think I can figure it out.
Yeah.
Suspicious.
What happened was, anyway, they found her stuffed in the wall. Mm-hmm. And so they, of course, knew that, you know, whatever happened, the tragedy was certain that she was dead. And then they started to figure out who did this, or at least someone to arrest. And they found the DNA of this lab technician who worked in the lab.
Yeah, he cleaned...
Kind of a janitorial guy, a little bit above a janitor, I guess.
He cleaned the cages and took care of the mice in the lab and cleaned the lab.
Mm-hmm.
And he was one of her co-workers.
And it looks like his DNA is everywhere. He was there with her. He had written her a note, emailed her, asking to meet him that day. And it looks like she was asphyxiated. Quick way to die. Possible that he didn't intend to kill her because, you know, it's so quick when you go like, you know, start to shake someone.
Initially, they thought it was a crime of passion.
Right, that they had some kind of sexual relationship.
That they had had a sexual relationship because of the way, how violently she was strangled. The background of this young man is he's been there for 4 or 5 years. His whole family works there. He has a fiance. there's no...
And he loves animals.
And he loves animals.
And he seems like a very wholesome guy.
How old is he?
He's 24.
24.
Just, you know.
It's just about her age, right?
Yeah, a little older, but not much. Maybe the same age. It's still possible they had a sexual relationship that we don't know about.
No.
But it doesn't seem that way.
No.
And they can't figure out why he did this.
The
they
motive.
Keep saying, what is the motive? What is the motive? They know that he was fanatical about cleaning the cages.
Cleanliness of the cages.
Cleaning
the
cages. But do you kill someone? Do you even attack someone over cleanliness? I mean, I know here at the Speakeasy Commissary, things get pretty heavy over the kitchen.
I've seen it.
But, but
the bejesus out of me. My God, I used the wrong kind of fork.
Yeah, it's true. People can get very emotional about cleaning.
She's in the wrong fork.
But still, you wonder. Anyway, we have a caller guest that I want to take in a minute, but we're going to come back to this subject. But I just want to sum up my theory.
I swear.
Well, don't tell the theory.
I shouldn't tell the theory.
No.
We leave some suspense.
Let's just think about this. Man's been working there for 4 years with his family. Never a sign of trouble. Very fanatical about the mice.
Very fanatical about the mice and the cleanliness.
No.
Okay, we're going to take a call. Think about.
And then we're going to come
what
back.
What you think is going on with the mice and the man?
Yeah, we're going to give
poor woman.
We're going to give the Connecticut Police Department
a theory. Important theory
that may give you the motive. Let's take the call.
Okay. All right, back to sex, and then we go back to death. This is a sex and death show. Okay. We're going to talk to a sexy woman that I met on Twitter. Are you on Twitter?
Mm-hmm.
All right, follow us. I met Lola Hito online. That's her whole Twitter name.
Hi, Dr. Susie. How are you?
Hey, Lola Hito online. It's so good to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you so much. Thanks for having me. And also congratulations on your new television project.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad you brought that up, and I don't look too, you know, gloating Hollywood for bringing it up. But I do have a new TV project with Merv Griffin Productions. Okay, and we're developing a TV show. I don't know if I can say the name. Can I say it? I shouldn't say the name. Okay, we've got a lot of noise in the background there. Okay.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. You know, I'm actually at an event that I had to make an appearance at, and so I jumped downstairs to the bathroom.
Oh, okay. What kind of event are you at?
It's for 16mofo.com. It's in a swingers website.
A swingers website called what?
SexyMofo.com.
SexyMofo.com.
Oh, SexyMofo. Okay.
Yeah. And so they do like an annual schoolgirl party. So,
aw, are you dressed like a schoolgirl?
No, I'm not.
No?
No, I'm not.
No little plaid skirt?
I'm kind of all over the place, so. Actually, I'm like an all black and a turquoise sports fit, so I'm not so schoolgirl.
Okay, but that's how I see you, black and turquoise, very slinky. I think of you as being very slinky. You're kind of a sex producer? What do you do?
Well, I'm a sex advice columnist. I write for Pet House Variations, and I do sex advice, or swingers advice, I should say, on AdultFriendFinder.com, as well as my own website, which is KetoOnline.com.
Okay.
And we do erotic events here in New York City, and we've been doing them with Pet House, and they've actually been so much fun. I mean, they're great, just wild playgrounds where adults can come and explore and just kind of be uninhibited, and it's a fantasy land. So
do they have sex there?
No. These are off-premise events that we throw. So they're at a regular club. We have like some burlesque performances, like from Sixteen Jolies, who's one of the Penthouse events. We have some like really great like sideshow kind of performances too. So every place that you look, there's something going on.
So they have nudity.
Yeah.
Nudity. Right. I'm just trying to get the lay of the land, so to speak. You know.
Oh yeah.
What you can do. I always want to know the parameters. If I go someday.
I can get you her phone number.
You can get me Lola's phone number? I already have Lola's phone number.
The lay of the land.
The lay of the land.
It's an old show.
Okay.
Come on.
I don't know. Lola's might be the lay of the land.
Well, sometimes I try.
Yeah. Oh.
It's so funny. I feel so awkward being in the bathroom because I'm like, somebody's going to make some noise that I'm sure they don't want broadcast.
I don't know, though. I think it's kind of kinky, you being in the bathroom, the restroom. You could give us a golden shower.
I'm sorry?
Golden shower?
Golden shower, anyone? Can we hear you tinkle?
Well, I was hearing some of that, so let me try to walk into the room.
Oh, she's actually going to bring us over to some tinkle.
Like, you know, that really cuts down on the sexy of your show.
Well, I don't know. We explore all kinds of kinkology.
Oh, well, excellent. What's the most bizarre thing that you've explored so far?
Actually, I'm about to get into that.
We're about to talk about that.
I don't know if you want to get into something really, like, in a kinky and kind of a bad way.
Oh, kinky in a bad way.
Yeah, like something we don't recommend at all. You want to get into it with us, Lola? I'll keep you on the line while we talk about it. Have you heard about the murder of Annie Lee over at Yale University in New Haven?
Yeah.
You have, right.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that she was discovered stuffed in a wall, and that the alleged murderer, I guess, is a guy. I don't remember his name. Anyway, I don't want to make him famous.
He was a lab technician.
Yeah, he was exactly a lab technician. And everyone's saying, you know, why would he do it? It just doesn't seem as though they had a sexual relationship, he and Annie.
Right.
Even though it does seem to be a crime of passion. And I say, yes, it was a crime of passion, but not passion for her.
Right.
I think Annie discovered the
something.
Lab technician with his true object of passion. The mice.
The mice, yeah.
I think she discovered him doing
what
other lab technicians have called me and confessed to doing.
Doing a mouse.
Really?
Doing mice up the butt. Mice, you know, kind of sticking in a tube. They take a cardboard
and
tube.
Are you suggesting that was an appropriate fit for that young man?
I'm suggesting that maybe she could have caught him doing something like that, and that he freaked out and attacked her.
But that doesn't explain the email, does it?
Yes. What it explains is that she caught him, and she told him that she was going to report him.
Expose him.
And then he called her in to talk to her, and he didn't intend to kill her. He just
He wasn't going to say, I want to talk about that.
Right.
He says, I want to talk about the cleanliness.
The cleanliness.
Of your mouse cages.
Right.
But because he's an obsessive compulsive individual, he can't control that surge of emotion.
He got very, because she might have gone, no, I'm going to report, you can't be doing that with our lab mice.
And then he went, oh.
Yes.
And crushed without intending to do it.
And he silenced her.
That's my theory.
Well, it's very plausible. It's very common, people that work in those areas.
Exactly.
That's one of the fetishes. Obviously, this guy is a very kind of buff, sporty guy with a girlfriend, a fiancé.
Mm-hmm.
This is really not something that he wants reported.
No, he had a great life. He had a girlfriend. He had family that worked in the same building. He had several members of his own family working there.
He had a girlfriend.
He had something to hide that was even more important to him than being discovered as a murderer.
Right.
I want the angle on the girlfriend before I can this thing up.
I doubt that he did the mice with the girlfriend. Probably that was, I talk to a lot of guys as a therapist who have wives, girlfriends, families, and then they have, their mouse
secret.
Or something.
Not
usually a mouse.
I think that fetish is.
Huh?
I mean, no, I just heard the gentleman say.
Yeah, how common do I think it is? I don't think it's very common.
Well, no, let's back up here a second.
Yeah.
How common is it? If you work with mice, it's fairly common.
I remember.
If you're a surgeon, some of your fantasies are mutilation. So depending on your work, it might not be common to us, but in certain fields, it's very common. Scatological, peeing, all of this is very common among nurses. It's very common among janitors.
People often eroticize what they're around.
What they're around.
Not always, but... she got...
We just lost her.
Okay, we lost her. Anyway,
that's right. We eroticize what's familiar to us.
Well, as the professor did, how this came up, we got to thinking about this. Many years ago, we had a professor from college in Pennsylvania.
He was an assistant professor at a college in Pennsylvania that worked with a lot of lab mice. And he worked a lot of long hours.
Late at
and
night.
He called and he said, it was originally what he called about was to say, I need dating advice. and then, so we're talking about how he needs to get out. And he says, yeah, I'm here in the lab alone a lot. And I keep looking at these mice. And so gradually it came out that he wasn't just looking at the mice.
Right.
He was doing the mice. That is, the mice were doing him up the butt with this cardboard tube. And when he confessed this, then the next day, his car was chalked up and vandalized, and his office was also vandalized, and they wrote Rat Man on things, and they chased him out of there. I mean, it's pretty devastating to be known for doing this. I mean, and it's certainly not something we recommend. I mean, even
and
if you...
I think it's also a part of, if you go to the farm and to the hinterland, the farmer who is 50 miles away from his neighbor, and he's there all alone, and he's looking at his pig out there, that pig starts to look mighty nice.
Did I tell you my Aristotle joke? It's the same thing. But yeah, now this suggests that human beings who are, number one, intensely sexual beings, right? We'll all agree about that.
Yeah.
And that the way we manifest that sexuality extends in certain circumstances to other species, perhaps. Mm-hmm. Can we say that?
Yeah.
It can extend to other species, just like it can extend to a shoe or,
be outside of ourselves.
Yeah.
Right.
Sometimes it is ourselves. This ideal, this paradigm of always having it with a member of the opposite sex, always and exclusively. We know that's bunk. But how far do we take it?
Well, that's the thing is, I don't think you should take it that far, but it happens. I mean, it's
loneliness,
and of course the far worse thing than just having mice crawl up your butt is the shame that he felt over it to the point that he attacked her and killed her. And
well, this is assuming that that's what happened.
Oh, yeah, of course. Okay. I keep theorizing, folks. This hasn't been proven or anything remotely like that, and I doubt it will be. Because I can't imagine this guy is going to confess
to
that.
Has he said anything?
He's saying nothing so far. That might be typical. You know.
Other than being strangled? Because I hadn't seen anything about this since she was just missing. They hadn't found her yet. So, was there anything else? Like, she was just strangled and then put into a wall?
Correct.
Okay. It also showed that she fought. There were signs that she had struggled.
There was a struggle.
And he killed her passionately. He's going to shut her up.
Like, forcefully.
Very forcefully. And she fought forcefully. She fought forcefully to say, no, you're not going to kill me.
And she's a little 90-pound thing, so, you know, she
tried. Yeah, I saw a picture of her. She was adorable and tiny.
Aw, so cute. And, yeah, I mean, she fought against this guy. Maybe he didn't intend to kill her. I kind of have a feeling he didn't. I think he just was freaking out that he didn't know what to do to stop her from talking about this. Mm-hmm. And she probably just thought, you know, you pervert or whatever she thought. You know, I'm going to tell on you. You shouldn't be doing this.
And that's really now the main thing is with the police and everybody around this case is... Why? What is the motive here?
That's why my mind started running away, because they're all saying we have no clue as to why he would do this. And, you know, it is just a theory, folks.
Well, I think that you're doing the right thing. We're postulating different reasons. We're only expressing what everyone else is doing.
Well, it's also something that the police and everybody else around there might not even think about in a gazillion years.
Well, they can't imagine mice as sex partners.
So.
Is there ever a problem with removing mice or gerbils?
Oh, yes.
Like what? Because I think I heard a
there
story
There have been a few reports of that from Cedars-Sinai.
Right,
you know,
yeah. I heard
about a man going to hospital with a gerbil. That's a terrible thing to say. Or may have not been Richard Gere.
I heard that.
I mean, I don't know. The rumor was it was Richard Gere, but then I heard that, no, it was not Richard Gere, but who? I don't know who it was. But there was some celebrity that was, you know,
do you know that he plays
rushed
his
to
own,
Cedars-Sinai.
He plays his own piano.
He played what?
His own piano.
Oh, I thought he had the gerbils playing on the piano or something.
He's also
gerbils played his
he's
piano.
Descendant from the Mayflower.
Richard Gere.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
He's,
I mean...
S.A.R.
The mouse fetish spares no one.
I know.
On
it's nasty. If it's not true, and he has been really slimed.
But
it's
not uncommon in the gay world, you know.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I spent the night tonight. I was watching. I went to a movie, comedy thing with 500 screaming gay guys. I could easily see gerbils off each.
You could. There might have even been one.
Who knows? Yeah.
All that laughing.
And they do
anyway,
laugh.
Anyway, so poor little Annie Lee.
Well, poor little Annie Lee. She's a. Could happen to any one of us. Yeah. You know that there was a murder announced this week. It was hushed up for 3 weeks. They were trying to catch the killer of a young woman in Hollywood. Who happened to be a young woman in Hollywood? Yeah, she was a preoperative trans. I think she's transsexual hooker. And it's getting very, very little news play.
Uh-huh.
I saw it on ABC.
How was she killed?
Stabbed. I mean, it's another, I hate to say, like a run-of-the-mill murder. Because there's so much violence going on. These people are crazy. And the likely perp or perps are just, you know, guys running around with knives and who knows what they're hopped up on and uncivilized and just dangerous.
Yeah, well.
And this element that people circulate in, it's murder. And in juxtaposition to this young woman in Yale, that's more bizarre, I suppose. Much more bizarre because she's from Yale.
Well, yeah, that makes it a little more bizarre
is
for
it,
me.
Is that the story? Because she's a Yalie?
I think that's why I'm obsessed with it.
why you're obsessed.
Why I personally am obsessed.
I think a lot of people are obsessed.
But I think there's other elements that make other people kind of obsessed with it, like being found in a wall and being found on her wedding day.
How did she get
into
the wall?
And just being so pretty and smart.
Yeah, do you know any more about the wall? Like physics of the wall. She's obsessed with it, and she didn't go to class. Edgar Allan Poe is obsessed with it. I hear it.
She wants to keep talking about it.
I do.
She wants to know about the wall.
Well, like, did he have plot? What do you mean he put her in a wall? Like,
well, because, okay, that building is a very high-tech building.
I don't know about putting her in a wall.
Right, it was like a science lab.
Right, and it's built with a, areas for cables to run through the building, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And those cables are basically hidden behind panels.
Oh, okay.
And you can easily pull a panel out, and they're very wide. They're not, you know, they're almost like crawl spaces.
Yeah.
Okay? And so obviously this guy would know about these.
Mm-hmm.
And... and as the police followed his roamings around, he was going to all these different rooms and obviously trying to find a place, you know, a good crawl space or a panel where he could put her in.
Well, you know, it's so unlikely that this was premeditated.
No, it probably was not.
And,
yeah,
and it was just as he didn't know his own strength, and she's a small woman.
Yeah.
Yeah, the building had a lot of people in it. So I can't imagine.
There's a lot of people in it, but it's also kind of a lonely. I mean, in reading about the building,
it is isolated.
Yeah, very isolated. Yes. It's even isolated from the campus,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of the people that work there said that, in fact, mm-hmm. they have gone there many, many times and worked there for hours and not seen anyone else. You know, so it's a fairly isolated. You know, a building where people are working in their little labs and, you know, unlike another kind of building, not very social. You're separated, you know, by these security doors and, you know, so. Yeah.
I was just Twittering.
Oh.
Is that fun?
I'm a Twitter maniac, huh? In a way. A slight Twitter maniac.
Really? Because you're...
Twitter addict.
You're really so literate. How could you restrict yourself to 140 characters?
Actually, it is a wonderful exercise to do that for a person such as myself who tends to be verbose.
You like that? You like being stuffed into a box?
It's a little. It's
what
not
about, do you know about
quite
the Hemingway
like being stuffed
challenge?
Into a wall, but sort the of Hemingway like challenge. Being stuffed into.
Oh, is it like poetry?
Doing
a haiku.
Like being tied to the bondage cross, which I like.
Steroids.
Now, you know, one of the things that they call this murder is a workplace violence.
Is there a lot of that?
Well, not at Yale, generally.
It happened anywhere, it just happened
right.
to surface at
But
Yale
that's what they call it, and that's part of the not being able to get a handle on what happened here.
Hmm. Yeah.
So it's almost like random violence.
NHPD, give me a call. I'm already an advisor to
several special units.
Public Defenders unit at Los Angeles Criminal Courts. So,
could you explain that a little bit?
I will, but I have Jose on the line
okay.
from New York. Okay, Jose, line two.
Jose, you're on the air.
Hey, Jose.
Hey, what's up?
Hi.
How you doing?
Hold on.
No. What's up?
Oh, we are. You
he
are.
Said, how you doing?
Oh, how you doing?
We're doing good.
All right.
Okay, what did you want to talk about? Your past sex life?
Yeah, and just how I have a problem, like, just jerking off, like, every hour.
Jerking off every hour.
Like, you're jerking off every hour thinking about your past sex life? You must have some good sex in the past.
Yeah, that too, but... No, I just have, like a problem, just keep jerking off. And
do you think that is a problem?
Yeah, I think so.
How much are you jerking off?
Is it due to the reincarnation?
Probably, like every 45 minutes.
So. How old are
every
you?
Every 45 minutes.
How old are you?
That can lead to skin abrasions, yeah.
How old are you?
22.
22.
And when did you start jerking off?
Max was jerking off about every 45 minutes when he was 22.
Found out about that.
This goes on throughout.
Maybe you could have some sex with someone. How about that?
No, I do.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
You have a partner?
I just don't think that's like enough. I just need more.
You just need more. Well, if you need more, then it's probably safer for you to just jerk off than to have sex with lots of different people unless you practice safe sex.
Yeah.
So enjoy it. Just, you know, you better, you know, kind of use some lotion because it sounds like you're going to give yourself major skin abrasions.
Yeah, no, I do.
Only.
Okay, would you rather jerk off than have sex with your girlfriend?
Excuse me?
Do you have a girlfriend?
Yeah, I do.
You do. Would you rather masturbate than make love to her?
Probably not, no.
Okay.
Does she know how much you masturbate?
Yeah.
Okay.
Does she like it?
Yeah, she loves it.
Oh, she loves it. She likes to watch it.
Does she like to watch you? Masturbate?
I really haven't tried that yet.
Do you think she would?
Yeah. She probably would.
Is she there with you right now?
No, she's not.
That's too bad.
Oh, we would love to hear her watching you.
Yeah.
So, this is like major recreation for you?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Are you in school or do you have a job?
Yeah, I have a job.
Take like cigarette breaks except for...
No, I have a job.
Go into a storage room or...
Right. How do you do that? You go to a storage room or go into a wall or closet?
Panels.
Just don't do anything with any lab mice, okay? That's all we ask. Masturbate to your heart's content, but no...
Leave the mice alone.
No mice, okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think that the... I mean, you agree? There's nothing wrong with masturbation.
Nothing wrong with masturbation. I mean, sometimes it can be a sign of something wrong, like if you're masturbating instead of having sex with your partner, then it's a sign of a relationship problem.
Well, accept that as a given, though. Maybe some people just aren't cut out for that. And the way they tilt is more masturbatory.
Yeah, you know, sometimes it can be a little bit of a drug. And like any good drug, you can do it a little too much. But
sex with another
it doesn't
person.
Sound like he's like that.
Can I make a suggestion?
Sounds like he's just picking up the slack.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that how it is?
And for some reason, I've got a very hot sound in my
headphones.
Well,
try turning down your sound.
I need to turn down my sound, baby.
It's on the right-hand side, Susie.
Honey, are you still on the phone with us?
Yeah, I'm there.
Okay. How is it with you? I mean, do you, do you prefer
I can't hear him anymore at all now.
Not anymore?
Yeah, are you
Susie
there?
Can't hear you anymore.
Yeah,
hold on
there.
For a second. Wait.
If I turn it up, it just is staticky. Nobody else hears that?
Nope.
Well, you're on wireless. We're not on wireless.
Na-na-na-na-na. But we can hear each other, can't we?
I can hear you, but you're starting to sound a little staticky.
Yeah, it could be your batteries are running down.
Okay,
too.
Batteries
That's
going out.
I'm an alien.
Maybe my batteries are
could
going
be.
Out. So
Changed.
Here.
Change the headset over there.
Give me
Susan.
A different.
Hold on for a second.
Hold on. We're changing some batteries.
We're sending
here.
A man to the moon.
We're going to restart my heart.
Okay, this one, though, is tied to something. Do I have
Wait,
to
so
use
Jose?
One that doesn't have. I know. Do I have to use one that's wired? There's none that are working that are wireless?
Stay with us. Don't go anywhere.
So the batteries are good. Okay.
This is a high
Hello?
Tech outfit here.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm back. Okay, that's not staticky. All right, darling. So, would you like to masturbate less? Is there something? I mean, do you feel like you're missing out on things in life?
No, not really. No.
All right then. So, what do you? You just want to tell us about how much you masturbate, so we'll give you a medal for being the.
I mean, to
the most avid masturbator of the evening.
See, there are people out there who.
Do you think it's healthy or like not healthy?
I think it's healthy and it's fine. It's fine. I don't see anything wrong with just jerking off a lot. I mean, it makes you a bit of a jerk off. You know, you could be doing other things with your 22-year-old self. You know, I mean, it's a little bit of a time waster. You know, but no worse than just sitting in front of a television and watching all day.
Yeah. It's easy to fall into a masturbatory behavior pattern. You know, whoops.
That might be, is that a little high?
Okay, yeah, no, this feels good.
That's good.
Yeah. Feels good.
Better?
Beautiful.
Is that better?
Masturbation.
Yes, I mean, I can't hear him because he's hardly talking. Can you talk?
Men have to come all the time.
So, Jose, I got another call. Do you need my help in any other way?
Fine.
Or just keep jerking off and
you're doing good.
Maybe get yourself a hobby so you have something else to do.
Can I get some more?
Okay. But, you know, it sounds like you just want to jerk off, so be a jerk off. We're all for it.
You have our blessing.
That's all right.
Blessed be you. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech
ha-penis. Oh, boy.
Okay.
Kisharam mitzvotav et sivanu.
Okay.
Wait a second. Hold on. I can think of it. I'll get it.
No, berei pri hagafen. Oh, you're praying over the cock?
Zion bayad. Zion is a cock.
Zion is a cock?
A Zion, yeah.
A Zion. So if you're a Zionist, do you like cock?
Isn't that amazing? Zion batachat means a cock up your ass.
Zion batachat.
I remember that. That's one of the few things I remember from my summer on a kibbutz.
Better than mice up your ass.
Zion batachat.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jose. Now we have Brian Street Team on line one. Our friend Brian that we met at Erotica LA.
Yes.
Hi, Brian.
Hello, Dr. Susie. How are you doing?
Are you out on the street with the team?
I am on the street. I'm actually in a parking lot right now.
All right.
Quite a spot I could find.
That's not as kinky as Lola, who was in the ladies' room.
No, I'm not as kinky, but close enough, you know.
Or Jose, who's masturbating for us.
Right. Well, we don't know whether Brian's masturbating in the parking lot or not.
I was just thinking that.
Not currently masturbating. I was getting a blowjob earlier, but, you know.
Where are you now? All right. Who was giving it?
All right.
This girl I know from high school, you know.
A girl you know from high school.
Isn't
that's
that
so
sweet?
Sweet and old-fashioned. Yeah.
God, that's
old-fashioned blowjob from a girl
I'm gonna
you know from high
cry.
School.
God
old
damn. Yeah, was she good?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
She's pretty good.
Are you going to break her into porn now? Are you going to make her one of Joanna's angels?
She actually did ask me about that, too. Ooh. I told her. It was
a tryout.
She wants it.
A tryout, yeah.
Another one who wants it.
Now, Brian, I don't know if you're an independent. Are you a constant burning angel?
I would be considered the burning angel contract boy, yes.
Okay. Well, Brian is a Burning Angel contract boy, and those of you who know Joanna Angel know that she, of course, is a great Jewish porn star.
Yay.
Is she, is she going up to
she's celebrating Rosh Hashanah tonight?
No, is she going up to Erotic Exotic?
Oh, okay. Well, that's two questions. Well, she is celebrating Rosh Hashanah tonight.
Yep.
With sex and honey and apples.
I did speak with her earlier, and she said she was celebrating it with her very Jewish mother this evening.
Oh, really? Oh,
so. That's so nice.
That's so nice. Did she bring James Dean?
I believe that he is actually still in L.A. right now, as far as I know. I haven't.
Is that an
answer? I'm guessing he's still in L.A.
Oh, her mother's in New York or New Jersey or something?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Her mother's in East Coast.
Ah, okay. And is she going up to Erotic Exotic Ball in San Francisco? We're going.
I don't know.
You don't know?
I usually get her schedule, you know, a month in advance, but I haven't gotten it this month yet. So we'll see. I mean, we might cruise up there. Who knows? You know.
Okay. Well, we're going up there.
Yeah, because we have an invitation for a booth for special.
Oh, really?
Well, yes, we're getting our own booth, and I guess, I mean, we could get you a booth, I think, right?
Yeah, well, that's what he asked, if we could get any other special guests.
A special guest like Joanna would be very special indeed. If she wants to go, we can get her a booth.
I think she would love that. That would be fun.
All right. But she has to be on my show before that.
Ah.
Come here to the
speakeasy. She was on the show before, right?
No, I know, but she was just on the phone. You guys have to come over.
I know. We're busy kids, you know? Like, I was going to go.
Okay, before or right after?
Okay, before or right after.
Right. Some Saturday night before or after. Right, okay? Doesn't have to be before. Before Christmas.
Yes.
Or Hanukkah, as the case may be.
Actually, in her case, it would be her birthday.
Or Buddha's birthday.
Because her birthday her birthday is actually on Christmas.
Right. So. She's the Christ child.
Yes.
Absolutely. Christ is a porn star.
Wrong sex, though.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
For the Christians.
Amen and amen. So, Brian, you might break in this high school friend into the angel team.
I was thinking about it. Yeah.
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 Yeah. So, when did you become a porn star?
Oh gosh, when did I mean,
I didn't know
if
porn
you
want
to consider when I became a porn star, I guess that would have been at Erotica LA, not this last year, but the year before, because that's when I did my first scene.
Really? So you've only been a porn star for like a year and a few months?
Yeah, I'm pretty much newcomer, you know. I'm hoping for, you know, maybe a bout at AVN's Best New Male Performer. That's like a goal of mine.
All right.
But I guess I'm a rookie at it.
So who are some of your favorite girls to work with?
Oh, some of my favorite girls. Well,
don't leave any out now. They'll be upset.
Yeah, I know. Well, every girl I've worked with has been a pleasure, of course. But the favorites, the ones that stick out, I would say Misty Dawn was very awesome.
Misty Dawn, hot redhead.
Hot redhead.
With this amazing tattoo on her chest.
Yes. Coco Velvet was a very, very, very much pleasurable experience. Belladonna was amazing.
Oh, Belladonna.
Yeah, she's
also
so
with a nice
beautiful.
Tattoo
and
on her
she's
chest.
Such a sweetheart too. Joanna, of course, was amazing.
Of course, Joanna.
Jesse Lee, Draven Starr.
Draven.
The list goes on and on of girls that like. I love working. They're all.
Don't
like,
leave out Envy Amore, right?
Well, I actually have not yet had the pleasure of working with Envy.
Ah, yet. Not yet.
We've made out at a party or two, but other than that, you know, I haven't had the pleasure yet.
Mm. Well, hopefully you will soon. Maybe
Dr.
here,
Susie Matchmaker.
We'll bring you over here. Have you do it here?
Yeah, I mean, I'm up for that. You know. I actually, Susie, I got to make out with one of your.
I know.
Interns.
Well, I think you're talking about Alex, a friend of the speakeasy. Is that right? Who you made out with? A girl named Alex.
Yeah. I think so. I think that was her.
Yeah.
And you yourself, I made out with you.
Oh, we made out a little bit. Yeah.
We made out a little bit. You know, it was cute.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you get around, you know, Brian Street team.
I do what I can, you know. I try to give all the girls a chance.
So how does the family like your career?
They don't. It's kind of they're kind of neutral, I guess.
Okay.
They're not like exactly excited about it, but they're not disappointed at the same time. They're just kind of like whatever. They love me as Brian. Who I am as a person, they don't really take into all that other stuff into account, kind of thing.
So what's the best thing about being a porn star?
Well, turns out is the job entails you get to have sex with really hot girls.
Okay, that's the obvious thing. Yeah.
That's kind of awesome. I kind of like having fans. Like, that's kind of neat.
Ooh, yes.
I get fan mail. I love it when I get, like, it's usually like on MySpace or Facebook. Somebody, a girl, or even a guy sometimes will email me and say like, oh my God, you're my hero, you're amazing, something like that. And stuff like that it's really cool. I think it's really neat, you know?
Do they get graphic with you?
They keep it pretty much like to the fact that like, oh, like, you're awesome. I'm a big fan of yours, and it's really cool. I actually, one of my fans, I met her on the street, and she was like
a girl fan.
She's like, are you Brian Street Team? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, oh my God, I'm a huge fan. You're my favorite guy in porn. And hearing stuff like that really makes me feel like I'm doing something in the world, I guess.
So you have girl fans. I thought you had guy fans.
It's mostly girl fans. It's kind of both. I have a lot of girl fans and a lot of guy fans. They just kind of dig the fact that I'm the normal dude that turns out he has a little sex on camera every once in a while, you know?
Cool.
Just a normal dude.
Yeah.
Wow. So what's the worst thing about being a porn star?
The worst thing about being a porn star? Actually, it makes dating a little difficult.
Just dating quote-unquote regular girls.
Yeah, because they think, because I'll be honest with them and stuff. So I'll be like, hey, you know, like, because I'm an honest guy, I'm just like, hey, just let you know, I do porn.
Right.
And they get this stigma about them that they're not going to be good enough in bed, or they're not going to be, like, crazy enough or wild enough in bed for me, and they won't satisfy me, when 9 times out of 10, that's definitely not the case.
You're easy to please.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a guy. It's not, like, hard. You touch my wiener, you know, you play with some balls a little bit, you know, I'm a satisfied guy. But that's probably the hardest part, I guess, is dating. For dating just the normal everyday girl, which I'm definitely into, they think it's that I am unattainable, I guess, for some reason, which I don't understand either.
Well, do you want to be with a normal everyday girl, or do you want to be with porn stars?
I guess ultimately it would be with, like, a normal everyday girl. I mean,
really, you'd rather be with a non-porn star than a porn star, then, even though you know a lot of porn stars pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of porn stars pretty well. So
you've decided you prefer a non-porn star.
Well, it doesn't even.
Or you're just so horny, you just want a lot of everybody. You just want porn stars and regular girls. And do you do guys at all? Are you bi?
No, not at all. No.
Oh, no.
To each his own.
Do you do mice?
No.
Hopefully you don't do any mice.
Any mice?
Mice. No mice, please, Brian. Don't get too kinky on us. Okay.
I guess
no,
I don't do any
either.
Mice.
Okay.
No, I love just women only. I mean, I'm nothing against guys that want to do guys, but it's just not my
thing.
Or
guys that want to do you.
You just don't feel
from
it.
From watching.
Yeah, how about guys who want to do you?
You must have guy fans.
I mean, I've had a couple guys say some stuff like that, and do
they tell you why they find you attractive?
Not really, and it baffles me. I'm just like, hey, you know, that's cool if you're into that, but it's
now,
just not my thing.
Brian, I don't know you. I'm Deborah. I'm Aunt Deborah. And, yeah. Got to remember that.
Aunt Deborah.
And I want to...
Aunt Deborah.
It's all in the family.
Auntie Deborah. Yeah. Jerry Herman's going to write a score for me. Was it Jerry Herman?
I don't know what you're talking
Cy
about.
Cy Coleman. Auntie Mame.
Oh. No, I don't know. Too remote a reference there.
Yeah, I know. Too obscure. But can you describe yourself for me? Because I've never seen you. Sorry, I'm beside myself.
She's getting excited, actually.
Aunt
Deborah's very excited. I can.
So,
tell.
What would you? Well,
her nipples are getting hard.
What do you like?
Totally.
You want to hear what I'm like?
Yeah. Let's hear what you're like.
What
Deborah,
I'm
describe
like?
Yourself.
Police description.
Yeah.
Police description. I'm 5'6", 130. Who cares? Brunette, big boobs.
Measurements.
My boobs are larger than the rest of my frame.
How big are your boobs?
You know, I'm not sure, but it's a double T, 38 double T. I'm not sure anymore, you know, because I haven't bought a bra in a while. I haven't gone and been measured. But, you know, they're pretty... I have no idea, really.
You have no need to wear a bra around here.
I don't. I'm not.
No.
But,
So what else?
Why don't you show your tits to the camera? Again? Not to the webcam, just to this camera, yeah. Just for, you know, we're talking about them.
Oh, where's
it's okay. The webcam's down currently.
Oh, the webcam's down anyway.
It's what, down.
Okay, and the other camera should go over there. You're going to show your tits to that camera.
Yes, yes, Nori.
And,
look at the boobies.
Okay, show
Take
the boobies.
Pictures of the boobies.
One boobie. And two boobie. Very nice.
Oh, here I am.
Wait, keep them down. Keep them down. Keep them down. A few pictures here. We have very little nudity on the show tonight, so we're taking advantage.
Where are you watching?
Are you watching?
We're trying to get you over
a parking lot somewhere.
You're in a parking lot, but you have a...
There are no boobies in that parking lot.
Do you have an
You're missing out, Brian.
One of those phones, and you can get live video. No. So why am I showing my boobs?
You're showing your boobs. Because we're going to show them later. We're going to show them pictures, photographs, and video. Keep showing. He didn't get a good shot. Just relax for a moment.
I'll show him again.
Okay, no.
I will.
Jump, get a better shot.
Be boobies free.
Okay.
People to
anyway,
fantasize.
Okay,
people
so we were talking about her boobies.
So, yeah. My boobies are my boobies. And so that's me. What about you?
What about me? Well, I'm like 6'1".
Wow. Okay.
Are
you athletic?
She's already salivating.
Are you athletic? No, I like
180 pounds, like athletic build.
Mm. You work out?
I work out. I like to do I like to ride my bike a lot.
You ride your bike? Do you play any sports?
He has a lot of sex.
Do you like to throw
a ball?
That's
what he does. That's his favorite sport.
That's a workout.
That's okay, yeah.
I surf a lot. I skateboard a lot.
You're a skateboarder. Yeah,
okay,
I
got it. I got it.
Currently, I have black hair.
Currently? Because it's been what before?
It's naturally blonde-ish.
Yes, when I saw
it
was blonde.
Okay, and you decided you want to go for a dark look?
Naturally blonde, but it's dark, kind of.
Is the blonde a little bit too femmy for you, and you want it to go more masculine? Is that what you want?
No, I just kind of, whatever, I'll just dye it black, whatever.
Yeah, it fits with the burning angel image.
How about your pubes? Do you do the pubes, too?
No, actually, pubes, lessons alone. I trim them. I don't shave all the way there, but I trim them back.
How about the rest of your body? You have you like a?
I got a bunch of random tattoos all over. I got like
tattoos.
A full sleeve on my right arm and
cool.
Most of my back's done. I got a tattoo on my ass.
A little butterfly maybe or a?
No, it's
no
it's
something badass. You got
tattoo.
Something fucking badass in your ass. You tell me you don't like to take it up the ass and you're putting up advertising.
Well, it doesn't say go here. It doesn't have an arrow pointing
to
his asshole.
It's pointing the eyes.
It
you know,
say grand
you're looking
opening.
At the. You're looking at him.
I mean, he might like when a girl grabs his ass.
He might.
You know, a lot of guys like that.
He might.
Plus, in pornography, they have a lot of that camera between the guy's legs to see the
the C-cam.
Penetration.
So
from behind.
I'm looking for the hanging,
not that
the
I
hanging
watch a lot
pa-
of
package. You're not looking
Definitely
for that.
Not.
No, never, never. Okay.
But
and,
if you do, you watch Burning Angel.
I do.
And what
Brian
about...
Brian actually knows Burning Angel. Was Brian in the Scrubs video? Have you seen a Brian Street Team video?
I don't think I have yet.
Well, I want to now.
The now, Brian.
The video I'm in is actually... I was in... Punk Rock Pussycat Dolls, which is the latest DVD out of Burning Angel. And then our big feature coming out in a couple weeks is L.A. Pink.
L.A. Pink? I have seen it advertised.
I can't wait to see that one. I can't wait till you bring it over so that we can all watch it.
I would love to. Like the trailer for it, you can go to lapinkxxx.com. And there's two trailers. There's the softcore trailer that we have on YouTube. And then we also have the hardcore trailer, which you see me getting a blowjob from Togo Velvet, Andy Sandimas, and Draven Starr.
All at once?
Three girls at the same time?
Nice.
Three girls at one time. Gang blow.
Yep. I love me some Andy Sandimas.
Is there a term for that? Or more than one girl?
Gang blow.
It's a reverse
I made it up.
I guess.
I'll drink to that.
Gang blow,
that's what it's going to call it.
A blow bang. You know,
a blow bang, right. Actually, that's I've heard good. That term, blow bang.
Yeah, blow bang is when there's more girl, or there's a girl and multiple guys, and then
oh, that's anytime, a, there's, okay.
anytime there's more girls than a guy, it's a reverse. So there's a reverse blow bang in the movie. There's also a reverse gang bang in the movie where James Dean gets to have sex with Coco Velvet, Andy Sandemus, Misty Dawn, Joanna Angel, and Draven Starr.
Well,
James Dean gets to have
Shameless
sex with
plug.
A lot of amazing women.
Only Dr. Susie gets to plug all the names of the people in her product.
No, I actually know who these people
oh, yeah.
are. I met them.
I gotta ask
LA.
You know, I'm into concise speech. So, if a gangbang is one girl with multiple guys, if it's one guy with multiple girls, can we just call it a bang gang? Just
well,
reverse it
well,
and do it that way.
I guess so. I mean,
a bang
the
gang.
Technical term.
I like gang blow.
You like that?
Reverse.
Better?
You just got to reverse everything.
Yeah, like, reverse cowgirl. You know.
Reverse cowgirl, reverse yeah. blow bang.
Or you could call it a bro bang.
I like
bro
bang.
Bro bang. Oh, that's funny.
No. That would be guys on a guy.
Yeah,
all bros.
For all those.
It's a bunch of straight guys.
A bunch of straight guys just doing
each
other.
Yeah, a bunch of straight guys doing each other and playing GameCube.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. 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 Like high fiving each other.
With trucker hats.
Oh my God. Well, that sounds very exciting. I mean, if you have a bro bang in there, but you don't. You don't have any of the guys doing each other, right?
No, guys. There's only the closest thing, I guess, if you want to. There's a scene in there with Joanna Angel, James Dean, Mr. Shawn Michaels, and they do a DC scene. Shawn Michaels. Oh, you guys know him, Shawn Michaels?
Yes, he's been on this show.
Oh, he's
great.
A lovely gentleman.
He actually ate his groceries once. True story.
Really?
At a Lucky's grocery store. True story.
Can I have your autograph?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, Shawn Michaels, him and Jason
DC,
Joanna Angel. So, you can't beat that. I mean,
with a stick.
Yeah. And it's a hilarious movie, too, by the way.
Good. Well, that's one reason we like Burning Angel, because the movies are sexy and funny.
I have to say, Scrubs was so good.
Now, Brian, most guys like fucking girls, right? And they fantasize
most.
About being porn stars, but not every man can be a porn star, you know? And not every porn star is, you know, what the phantasmagorical genitalia that you ascribe to porn stars. Some guys are...
Are you want to know about Brian's genitalia?
Well, I sort of do. But I also want to know more. I want to get into his head.
Which one?
Yeah, the big head. I want to know.
I think that's between his legs.
What's, you know, huh? I want to know what goes through your mind. Why you think that you are a great porn star. What goes into making a great porn star?
I would say the whole point in my mind of making porn is that it is guys, when they're watching porn, it's guys fantasizing about very amazing, beautiful ladies.
Beautiful
so
ladies.
My idea behind the whole thing of it, like my mindset is, how do I make this beautiful lady that I have the opportunity to have sex with even better? Like, how do I make her look even better? That's the whole point of it. It's,
you're well trained.
I am just a prop. I am just a hard dick that is going into her.
Really?
A lucky dick.
And the whole point is to make these ladies look amazing, and that is my goal and my privilege to do every single time I go out there is, like, I want to make this girl look amazing.
It's like ballet.
But
you know, the guy is supposed to lift the ballerina and make her look like a goddess and spin her around, and he's got to be strong and do everything to make her just look
radiant.
But
then there are some dancers who transcend that supporting role. Yeah. And
well, he's only started a year ago.
Okay, well, I'm trying to suggest that...
Well, definitely James Dean transcends the holding up the ballerina.
Oh, yeah,
right?
A number of people do that, sure.
Like he's the Baryshnikov of porn. Right?
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, have I met him?
No, he hasn't been here yet.
Oh. Fresh meat?
Mm. But Aunt Deborah is kind of a porn star because she is one of the stars
honorary
of
star.
The Aerostay Orgy for Obama.
Let's hear it.
Which is produced by the Dr. Susan Block Institute, Block Films, and edited by Marr. And it's just been released, Aerostay X Orgy for Obama. And you were doing Obama. I mean, our Obama lookalike.
We were playing, yes.
Oh, he
very
was
nice,
quite
very
enamored
nice.
With you and your boobies.
Was he?
Yeah.
With
I mean,
me
I was looking at the
just
footage.
Yeah.
With
he's
you
a very
or just
sweet
the boobies?
Boy.
Well, now
he's
we're getting into spirituality that I couldn't tell.
Yeah, he's a cute guy.
Yeah. Yeah, you were definitely the center of
the universe.
That was the first time I took my clothes off, or was it?
No, that was not the first time you've taken your clothes off, Aunt Deborah. You've taken your clothes off many times. But.
True.
It was. You know, maybe
who
the first
that?
Time you've been in the center of the action right at the beginning.
Oh, but I've never been really in the center. I feel like
you were in
there.
The center of the action at that.
Anyway, you have
for Obama.
You have an extraordinary assortment of people. And I have to say, some of them, it's been an education for me to meet people in the industry, and especially the men.
Of course.
Especially the men who are changed the way I think about sex. Absolutely.
The men of the porn industry have changed how you think about sex. How did they do that?
I think a couple by name, almost. I'm watching the monitor behind you. I'm seeing some of them.
Jay Lasseter?
Jay Lasseter, for one. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah? I didn't see you do Jay.
I didn't.
Did you? Off camera? You slut.
Okay? That's the best kind of sex is off camera.
And Jay's incredible. He's incredible. He opened a new world for me. He's
wow.
Incredible.
We love Jay.
I'd love to open a new world for you as well.
Come on down to the
speakeasy. You sold him.
Come on down to the speakeasy.
Come on down to the speakeasy.
I'm going to have to go down there. I was going to go down there tonight, but I had a prior engagement this evening and
with
tomorrow
the
blue job.
Excuses yeah. Are excuses.
A blue job in the parking lot from your high school girlfriend.
Fuck you. Listen, excuses are like a particular bodily orifice, you know? Everybody's got one.
Well, I will definitely be down there because I would love... I mean, Deborah, you can blow me all you want. I mean, I'm okay with that.
How about that?
What a deal.
What a deal. Okay. I think she might want more than blowing you.
I don't know.
Well, then,
maybe
I can still feel that, too.
He's eager. He's ready.
I like eager. I appreciate that quality in a man. That's what I really like. Mm. I like a man who is a man who has a real sense of himself as a man. Because, honey, you got to be the prize.
Well, that's how most male porn stars
are
that are successful
you
are.
You are the prize.
They have to be that way.
The girls want what you got.
Mm, and the boys do, too.
Yeah, it's a little more subtle. See, it takes a while, perhaps, to appreciate that beauty that a man has. It's not that sensuous, curvaceous, smooth, round, boobs, tits, and ass kind of beauty. It's a different kind of beauty.
It's
why am I curvaceous? I got a little paunch above my, you know, on the stomach. Work on it, honey.
Deborah advises you to work on it before you come over here.
The party is when?
You've got to come to Aerostay. Mark this date in your Rolodex. When is it? January 23rd, 2010.
2010. Magical. We're
going that will be the 11th annual Aerostay.
Going into another decade.
Yes.
We're launching.
Aerostay is always in the beginning of the year.
Holy fucking shit. It's all of what? October is almost upon us.
October is upon us. We're heading up to the Erotic Exotic Ball.
Wow.
And and we're heading into Eros Day, and we're heading into the future.
So. How do you feel about the future? Don't answer that. Anyway, so you're going to come down to the party?
Yeah, he's coming. He's coming. You're gonna come. He's coming, okay. And coming and coming. Come and on. He already came. So.
Good boy.
But he came twice, actually. So.
Okay. Well.
We like that.
Get one for the road. All right.
You notice if you've been listening, you know, when Jose called, we didn't hammer him because he's popping off every 45 minutes.
It's
you
because
know?
Jose had one syllable answers to all of our questions. That's why. You know.
Okay.
A porn star has to be articulate nowadays.
You know. That's so true.
That's right. You can't just be a stud. You got to do phone interviews. You got to talk to girls. You know.
I would hope I could be articulate
the pressure
enough.
Must
you know.
Be unbelievable. Hmm?
I do write on occasion.
You write.
Yeah.
Literacy.
What do you write?
I write for a little website blog called Pop. Porn.
Pop porn. Okay. Well,
is
we'll
that
look out for your writings.
Popporn.com.
Yeah, popporn.com. I do vagina reviews for them.
Vagina reviews.
Vagina. You review different girls' vaginas?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Boy.
Is there?
We
is there have you given anyone a bad review?
We can talk about
one
that.
One to ten.
Did you give a bad review to anyone that we should know about?
I have yet to give a bad review every girl in the entire universe, I say, has something to offer to the world in the case of, like, beauty or whatever. Every single girl in the entire planet, I believe, is beautiful in her own way.
Aww.
Thank you. Oh, what a sweet guy.
We all thank you, Brian Street Team.
And Tammy Faye Baker thanks you as well.
Does she
have a vagina?
Thing? She's dead.
God. Oh.
I don't think he's talking about women alive and dead.
Yeah, okay. But.
Okay. All right, Brian, we got to go. But, you know, get another blowjob in the parking lot. I'm sure you can if you just look around.
I'm working on it. I think they have a couple ladies.
They're lining up right now.
Just might have somebody go, you know, he's a porn star.
My friend
and
her aunt are coming back to my place, and I'm probably going to have some crazy sex with them tonight, both of them. So that should be fun.
Someone and their aunt?
You go, Brian. That's right. You're going to do a
little incestuous connection there.
My friend from high school and her aunt, so that should be fun.
I mean, the aunt is there with the niece? I don't know. That sounds incestuous.
You mean you fucked her daughter her aunt, while she was watching? What? My God, what did she say?
Well.
She high-fives me the whole time.
We'll have to hear more about it next time, because we are out of time.
See you, Brian.
Okay,
big kiss, big hug, Brian, to your big and little heads.
Okay.
Ciao for now.
Bye, baby.
Okay. So we're about to wrap up. Where did Max go? Did he go to the little boy's room? Okay. Yeah. Is Max around? Did he go? Yeah. Okay. So we're going to wrap up in just a minute. How'd you like your first Dr. Susan Block show sitting in?
This was wonderful.
Is this what you thought it was going to be like?
This is, of all the Jewish holidays I've celebrated recently, I'd say this was up there, definitely.
Up there. It's not as good as our Purim when we really go all out.
Do you do Purim?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah, we do a major Purim.
I bet. Because there are costumes involved with that, and I bet you could really do a number.
Yes, we do. We always have a very exotic Esther and
costume master.
A king with a scepter. Yeah, that's right. Bran is the costume master. So, you know, we have porn stars in some of the main parts. It's fun.
That's my.
You were here at Purim last year, right?
Family would be so proud. So, yeah, no, I'm celebrating the holidays here in Los Angeles, guys. Don't worry.
We call it Comedia Erotica.
Should we talk about the? Oh, that's okay.
What?
You know, the Yiddishkeit that goes on at the speakeasy.
Well, I do a few holidays. I do Passover. Mm-hmm. That's not as erotic.
A mean Seder.
So we do the holidays. Anyway, we're going to go, but thank you, Hannah, and thank you, Aunt Deborah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Brandilio, and thank everyone in the speakeasy for helping out with the show tonight. It's kind of a quiet show, but a nice show. Our hearts go out again to Annie Lee and her family. And hey, NHPD, give me a call. I have a theory about the whole grisly murder, why it happened. Rat man. Yeah. Okay, just a theory, but I think it makes sense. So give me a call. Anyway, the rest of you, be good. Be careful, okay? Don't get caught in any walls. And try not to hurt anyone, even if you're upset. Even if they catch you doing something you're very ashamed of. Just take a deep breath and remember, life is precious. Make love, not war. Make like bonobos, not baboons. Make love to someone you love tonight, even if that someone is you. You know? I mean, that's okay. You can jerk off, Jose. Just go ahead. I love you. Lashana Tova.
Need to talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else? You can talk to us.